We didn't stop running until we reached the forge. In Mrs. Joe's kitchen, there was a doctor, and Joe, and a group of women. And on the floor in the middle of them all was my sister, lying unconscious. She would never scold us again. Joe had been at the pub that evening, and when he arrived home just before 10, he found her on the floor. Nothing had been stolen. She had been hit violently on the back of the head with a heavy weapon. On the floor beside her was a convict's iron chain. It did not belong to the prisoners who had escaped that day. The police spent the next week investigating the attack, but did not arrest anybody. I felt sure the iron chain belonged to my convict, but I did not think he had attacked my sister. The attacker could have been either Orlick or the stranger who had shown me the file. But several witnesses had seen Orlick in town all evening. My only reason for suspecting him was his quarrel with my sister, but she had quarreled with everyone in the village 10,000 times. And if the stranger had come to ask for his £2 back, my sister would gladly have given it to him. So I could not imagine who her attacker was. She lay ill in bed for a long time. She could not speak or understand much, and her character was greatly changed. She had become quiet, patient, and grateful for all our care. She used to write a word or draw a picture when she wanted something, and we tried to discover what she meant. She needed someone to take care of her all the time, and luckily old Mrs. Wopsle had just died, so Biddy came to live with us. She understood my sister perfectly, and looked after us all very well. One day my sister drew a tea, and seemed to want it very much. I brought her toast and tea, but Biddy knew immediately.